Hey, what's going on, babies? It's another edition of the Stunt Granny Audio with Kevin and Eric. What is happening, man?
Well, I'm just enjoying your melodic voice there, doing your best hold for swank impression.
Oh, baby, 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 hit me one time with your lady. Hey, speaking of which, if anyone wants to go to dailyiowan.com, I was profiled today in the college newspaper because apparently I'm a TA who's not a stuffy asshole with no wife. So they decided that I was interesting enough to do a profile on. Go, everyone, read it and laugh.
Laugh. Ha ha.
That's about all it's worth. No, the story is actually really good. The pictures are really good. The photographer's really cute. And, yeah, that's pretty much the scoop there.
Outstanding.
Yeah, it is. Trust me, it is outstanding. Alrighty. Let's see. Let me make sure I'm on the right interstate here. Oh, so here's basically the story of my life at this point. Okay, good. I'm going the right way. Trust me, I've gone the wrong way before. So grad school is in swing. We're 2 weeks into the school year. And because I am so broke, and that's because I spent so much of my own money on this new CD of ours, I have had to move in with my mom in Des Moines, Iowa, and then drive 90 minutes each way, so 180 minutes round trip, 3 hours of my life gone every year, 2 days a week, Monday and Wednesday. Huh. So Kevin and I are doing this audio as I'm driving from Iowa City to Des Moines right now. My life sucks.
Yep, and my ass is uncomfortably on the seat in front of my computer, as it usually is.
Yep. So, yeah, Kevin is in control of the flow for these shows as long as I'm on the road. So, I guess. that was some, was that some human beatbox, or was that some that Dave Draymond from Disturbed?
That is my best evil laugh.
Oh, that, like the count? One, two stories,
yeah, that probably would have been more evil than what I just blurted out.
That's awesome. All right, what's on the docket for tonight, Kevin?
Well, I think the big news of the day here, which is what we're going to start off with, really, is Mr. Oscar Gutierrez, or as everybody knows and loves him, might actually refer to him as Rey Mysterio.
Ooh, spoilers, real name.
Yeah, well, he was the front page news on WWE website here today, and yeah, I hadn't clicked on it until I got home here, and they did, in fact, refer to him by his real name on the site, too. Which,
oh, Jesus. Did they show him without his mask?
No, that is the only thing they did not do.
Rey Mysterio did a big mistake, but still, WWE is not protecting him. They're throwing him under the proverbial bus.
Yeah, he made a big oopsie, and Jeremy and I made a quick mention of it. And anyone even remotely surprised by the fact that the WWE would do this to somebody that spoke out against their policies or anything thereof are completely and utterly crazy.
Yeah, it was bad enough to see MVP de-pushed, Mr. Kennedy de-pushed, and ultimately fired. But there are really no double standards here. You toe the company line, you keep your mouth shut, or bad shit happens to you.
Yep.
Because I think
that is the way it rolls.
Oh yeah, I think it was Jason on .net who said, and this is, I mean, it doesn't go without saying, but it makes sense, and then just Jason put it into words. When stuff like this happens, it usually gets stuffed into the industry news section of WWE.com. It's certainly not splashed all over the front page. So, yeah, Vince and company, as has been reported, not happy that little Oscar here, the biggest little man, has been speaking out about this suspension. It's not my fault. Well, you got to take some responsibility. You have to be accountable for your actions one way or the other. I think Jeremy even put it this way. Jeremy, on the post that he put on Stunt Granny, said, if you have a prescription for this stuff, have your shit in order, you know? It's like, sorry, my prescription just magically disappeared. I have to get one from my internet doctor.
Yeah, and we even, you know, kind of discussed that on our kind of weekend dealio there.
Yeah.
And, it's like, shit, dude, what the fuck? Like, I mean, seriously, if you had a prescription, can't you even get your wife to, like, phone it in or something like that?
Sure. Fax it, something. The fact that he was one of the names, the little OG, the Oscar Gutierrez name that came up when, I think it was Sports Illustrated released that list of names of big athletes who got busted for using the same internet pharmacy. I mean, that was the big thing at the time was, as far as WWE's wellness policy goes, one of the things that don't use doctors and pharmacies over the internet. Have a real doctor give you a real prescription and go to a real pharmacy. Well, Rey Mysterio's name comes up. He's got this, you know, sorry, Rey, you can't just download a PDF of your prescription. You should really get your ducks in a row before you start taking drugs, my friend.
No kidding. Make sure those things are quacking the right way.
Yeah, this ain't TJ. But as far as WWE making a big deal out of it, though, everyone knows that SmackDown is taped, but this kind of is a reminder, hey, SmackDown is taped, folks. We're going to suspend Rey for 30 days after he wrestles John Morrison. And I suppose now we can throw in the spoiler alert and we can kind of talk about how Rey is being further punished.
Spoiler alert.
Rey wrestles John Morrison. He wrestled because it happened already, at the SmackDown taping.
Yep.
And John Morrison came away from their 20-minute hard-fought, pretty good match. John Morrison came away with the Intercontinental title.
Yes, he did. And, I would be remiss if I did not mention the fact that I don't really have a problem with Morrison getting the belt, but it seems a little odd considering my boy Dolphy there has been feuding with Rey on and off and has been this close.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know why he didn't get the crack at it, but Powell again did bring up the fact that Morrison stepped in for Benoit.
Yes, I was going to bring that up too. I didn't realize anyone else had mentioned it. I had just thought of that. Yeah, Morrison is the go-to guy when your favorite top 10 workers from the mid 1990s get busted for drugs or die.
Yeah, he's got quite a little title for himself there.
Yeah. Oh my God, the dead. What is it? Deathpool? They call him Deathpools or Deadpools? I can't remember. You can call him.
Either or, really.
You can call him the Deadpool boy. Because he comes in and cleans up afterward. Yeah, that's really interesting. But that's a good point. Dolph, you know, they're in the middle of a feud. So Dolph could do something as easy as just attack Rey at the beginning of the show, and the big hero Rey stands up for himself and, oh, you want to fight? Let's fight now. And then Dolph wins. And then it's like, okay, so what do we do next at the pay-per-view? And I guess logically you could push Morrison into that spot.
It just seems like both of those guys, like, as much as I think I'd love to watch that match, both those guys are kind of in the same position that they're being pushed right now.
Yep, much in the same way as MVP and Jack Swagger on Raw, like we talked about last month.
Yeah, so, and considering that SmackDown has actually been well-written for some reason or another, by the quote-unquote same group of writers that is writing the crap on Raw.
Right.
I just don't want to see that happen, really.
Right. Yeah, they're not going to help each other out. They're not really going to elevate one another or one elevate the other at this point. Morrison's got some more time and more titles, I guess, for what those are worth, and more pushes under his belt. But really, it doesn't help. Really, perception-wise, I don't think it does help Dolph as much as it would have helped him beat Ray. And it certainly won't help Morrison losing to Dolph at this point in both of their careers. And giving John Morrison basically a 1 week, if that, right? When is breaking point? Is breaking point a week from now?
2 weeks from Sunday.
Two weeks from Sunday, okay. So Morrison, yeah, I mean, giving Morrison a short Intercontinental title reign, you know, not really the best way to go about it. He's a guy that they really should be grooming, and the way that you groom people like him is longer title reigns. I mean, Punk, I got a month with the World Heavyweight title the first time he got it, or WWE title, or whichever one he had.
Well, they
might not have been
so
sure about him at the time.
Yeah, and they've kind of made a big deal again, you know, with the Jericho feud, really.
Yep.
And really, just this latest one with Dolph, they've made the IC title visible again, really.
Yes.
So, like, yeah, having a short title reign like that is going to kind of crap on the IC title, which they've done hard to kind of build up here the last 2 months or so.
That's true. That's true. That's really bad for the Intercontinental belt. And especially considering we'll talk a little bit about this, hopefully a very, very little bit when we talk about Raw, but Kofi is on Raw dominating the U.S. title scene. I don't really think it's doing much for that belt, but yeah, Intercontinental title had been, yeah, really protected for a while, and to have it bounce around right now would be a bad idea. That's too bad for your boy Dolph, because him winning the belt in such short order would not be good for the title. I don't know.
Not even a little bit.
No, WWE, though, they're doing better recently, but overall, in the last decade or 15 years, and we have Russo to thank for this a lot, really didn't do much to protect their belts. And it's like Paulie always says, and people like Cornette and some of the old-timers, your belts are always going to be there. Your wrestlers aren't. So protect your belts. So I guess we'll see what happens.
Yep.
Your belts are never going to be exposed at Sports Illustrated's website for getting HGH from an online pharmacy.
No, they're not.
The Intercontinental title belt's gotten huge. The side plates are ripped.
It's got to be on roids, man. It's got to be.
Shit.
Did you see how many home runs it hit this year?
It looks like the U.S. title's trying to take over Canada.
Oh, man.
Oh, it just killed the tag team belt. Anyway.
That was done a long time ago.
Yeah. Oh, sadness. Anyhow, I suppose moving on to other topics, you know, because we've got SmackDown coming up. We'll see the match, and then we'll see the aftermath leading up to Breaking Point here in the next couple weeks. What else is going on?
At least I think we can bounce the Raw now, because at least one of the other stories involves Raw, really, that we could get into. So, both of us had some problems viewing said episode of Raw here.
My problem directly results from having to move to fucking Des Moines. I didn't have time to get my VCR hooked up. God, I need to convince my mom that I need digital cable with DVR. I also I also need to be 28 with a fucking full-time job. But that's neither here nor there at this point. the main point here is that I missed Monday Night Raw in its entirety, so I had to read up on Dusty Rhodes, the Mac and Dreams version. What happened on Monday Night Raw, baby?
Yeah, I mean, come on. We can't get into a raw discussion without your impersonation of Dusty Rhodes, so.
In public, if you will. Look at Eddie Guerrero flipping around out there. Okay, anyway, so let's talk about what happened on Monday Night Rizzle this week.
Yeah, you know, short order, I don't even think we're going to really go through everything. Since I did not have sound, and I did not realize that my closed caption was working until after the end of the opening segment, we're just going to have to go ahead and skip ahead on that one, really.
Okay.
I have no idea how Dusty, Randy, or Cody sounded during that segment. Absolutely none.
Yeah, I think somebody mentioned this on a super secret place that we have yet to not make a super secret. How in the world did the closed captioning people combat all the lisping going on as Dusty and Cody spoke?
Oh.
If Dusty Rhodes ever comes on your television again, you'll have to hit mute or do the closed caption and see what comes up.
Yeah, you know what? Come to think of it, I did get the closed caption up right at the end.
Oh, yeah.
And they were having some problems with the closed caption.
They're like, hey, Winda.
They were misspelling stuff more often than as regularly happens.
Yeah.
You know, there's kind of some slang thrown around, so it's a little tough.
Yeah.
To get some stuff in there, and I'm guessing that whoever is typing this stuff up is not a big wrestling fan.
Probably not. There's stuff doing this live 2-hour all marathon of a show full of people with weird names and moves they don't understand. And yeah, I feel sorry for the closed captioning folks.
Yeah. So yeah, they did have some more problems than normal, so that was kind of funny, really. But all they needed there was Jack Swagger, and that really would have made things interesting.
Good point.
Three lispers in one ring, and we really would have had a festival.
A festival? It's going to be a festival, baby.
Oh, but much to my surprise, really, and moving on here, they actually had two diva segments on the show, which was more than mildly surprising to me since, the Raw women have really been punished since the Gail Gate, or whatever you want to call it, the Gail Kim Nikki Payne Gate.
I like it, Gail Gate. That's what it should be called, Gail Gate 2009.
Yeah, and
Gail Gate sounds too much like jailbait. Maybe we should come up with a different name for it.
No, maybe that's why we should keep it that name.
Okay, yep, you're right. You're right.
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, like I kind of liked what they did with Beth Phoenix showing off her smarts in the match, in the Battle Royale there, even though they were showing off her non-wits beforehand since she had to be in front of a referee listening to the fucking instructions for a goddamn Battle Royal.
Here's how a Battle Royal works. You ladies have smaller brains than the men do. I have to explain this to you in detail. But Beth Phoenix, though, she's, as the Glamazon character, she's been a good wrestler with power, but brains, too. I mean, she's really the total package of woman wrestlers right now.
Well, if they present her like that, then yes.
Well, yeah.
although I did kind of like the fact that Mickie James almost sort of kind of weaseled out a win there on Monday by outsmarting the smart Glamazon there from her little she pulled off a mini Edge coffee break there in the Battle Royale and tossed somebody out after she decided to stay out of the action for a good couple of minutes. Because I did not think that Gail Kim and Jillian Hall looked all that bad.
Okay. I remember their names popping up.
Well, yeah, because they probably wrestled. Well, let's see what time he put timestamp Mr. Powell put on the on that match there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's at least 3-4 minutes. Like it seemed like it was almost the length of a regular women's match.
Yes.
God, that other match later in the night was only 5 minutes long. So maybe it wasn't quite as long as I thought it was.
Okay. Standard again, though, yeah. Women's singles match, though.
Yeah, it was 4 minutes, so I don't know. Maybe they gave Gail and Jillian maybe a couple of minutes then by themselves.
Yeah.
And, I kind of remarked that I was surprised, A, that Jillian Hall has been in the company for this long and done absolutely nothing, really.
Yep, well, Dusty said it works smarter, not harder.
Exactly.
She's got a gimmick she can take to the pay window.
Yeah, no reason to rock the boat, huh? Just like Santino, really, at this point.
Yep, exactly.
We may all hate it, but he's getting paid, and it doesn't seem like they're going to let up on the system.
Yep, that's right. Hey, good for them. Collect those paychecks.
Yep, that's kind of important. But, I was just kind of surprised, and I thought Mickey and Beth put on a fairly solid match, you know, for whatever time frame that they're going to give them now, you know, the about 5 minutes they gave them, so.
Okay.
You know, but I still don't know where they go at this point, though, because it looked like, what, Alicia Fox got a pin last week, so it kind of looked like she was going to be the next challenger, and then all of a sudden they throw, and I don't know, maybe they don't want Beth Phoenix to submit at the breaking point.
That could be, and that's smart, too. I mean, again, being the Glamazon, I know it's en vogue to submit. It had started, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. I mean, it really started with the tap out. Like, that was going to be the, when professional wrestling adopted the tap out as a submission finish, like, that was going to be the honorable way to quit a match. There are still times, though, where people need to be protected from that. And as far as the women's division goes, I don't think Beth Phoenix really should be submitting to end a match anytime soon. It's not apples and oranges, but it's kind of the equivalent of if Awesome Kong were to just start submitting on TNA. There's just no reason that should ever happen. Awesome Kong should never tap out in a match.
Oh, good Lord. That would be hilarious to see, actually.
Yeah. She'd get all bug-eyed.
In a very, very, very bad way, but it would be extremely funny.
Yeah. So, the women's division's kind of, I don't know, it's strange. I don't know if they're trying this parody-style booking, which, you know, give us a feud to really sink our teeth into. I realize Mickey James and Gail Kim fucked things up for you guys, but, you know, give us something that we can look forward to. Right now, it's just...
Yeah, but I mean, I would think that if they gave Mickey that win, that they are squarely placing the blame. Not on Mickey James and directly on Gail Kim's shoulders.
Yep.
So,
I
think that's another reason it should be Gailgate, because it is quite obvious that they did not think that Mickey James' effort was for naught.
Yep, good point. Gailgate. All right.
And what else? Oh, gosh, you know, and this is another thing that I haven't really noted, but they had talked about how the Divas are covering up more with the PG-13 rating and all that good shit.
Yes.
Recently, I think that has allowed Mickey James to add back on a little bit of her extra weight, which is not a bad thing.
Yeah, I like old thunder thighs McGee there. She's hot, even with the extra thickness on the bottom end.
Yep, I kind of prefer it that way rather than her a little more slimmed down, like she was getting there for a while when they were still pushing for the slightly more scantily clad. So that gets my nod in approval as far as I'm concerned.
Good call. There's an art of wrestling in a nutshell version right there. A little extra clothes,
exactly.
A little extra weight equals plus.
Yep. It's not always a bad thing, kids.
Yep, that's right. Well, something I certainly will not give my thumbs up to, like I mentioned earlier, Kofi Kingston won again.
Oh, yeah, and they honestly do not trust that clown in a singles match. Like,
no.
I can't believe that he has had that belt for that long. And, like, he has not had, like, even a feud, really.
No, he has not. He really hasn't.
And I
don't
mean,
know if it's because Raw is short on heels, possibly. I'm trying to think who the... There's Jack Swagger, you know, the Big Show. I guess he got inserted into a match once, but really, their mid-card heels are lacking, I think. If I'm Carlito, they're working with Carlito now.
Yeah, well, and the one guy involved in the match on Monday, The Miz.
Oh, duh, God. Okay, that's not good. Whatever they did to The Miz to make me forget that he's around, that's not good. Oh, no.
Yeah, and it's just like, okay, I'm like, good, finally, The Miz is going to get the title. Like, I honestly, for some reason, I thought that he was going to win on Monday.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
what the
fuck, man?
Yeah, when I saw all those names involved in that four-way, I thought the same thing. I'm like, sweet, they're finally going to get this belt off Kofi. You know, they could have had Miz pin anybody, but... Damn it all.
Yep. I mean, I just can't believe it. I mean, I know that, and we also kind of referenced this earlier, I know that the U.S. belt has not exactly been built up like the IC title here recently, but still, man.
Well, that's
can't
part
you
of the
have
beauty
it
of
not
the...
wrestled in a four-way match like once, maybe every 3 weeks on Raw.
That's part of the beauty of the Intercontinental title and the protection it's gotten is that the holder, Rey Mysterio, had feuds. People wanted to win the belt from him, as opposed to the U.S. title, where you don't get feuds, you just get an entire mid-card thrown into these multiple man matches, and it's like, oh, well, I guess whoever comes out with the belt is the lucky one. So, yeah, they would be well-served, and it doesn't help that Kofi is really, like, he's such a smiley, happy-go-lucky, goofball, fucking wobbly, sloppy piece of shit. Oh, I didn't mean for that to turn into a bunch of insults.
Sure you didn't.
No. He is so not equipped to feud with people. I would never take him seriously. If he started feuding with Jack Swagger and Swagger, like, cut this nasty-ass heel promo on him, I wouldn't take Kofi seriously if he came on the air smiling. Oh, you don't like me, is that right, man? Well, I guess I got to wrestle you now. Maybe hit you with the double leg drop. Okay, see you in the ring, pal. Get the fucking belt off him. So you can have some feuds, some good angry feuds over these championships. Not, oh, okay, no. Oh, I'll be right near the beach if you need me. I'll be in the ring in 20. Like, I don't give a fuck about seeing this guy wrestle for the belt. I don't take that shit seriously.
Fuck, was that, I'm trying to think if that was this week or last week, because you are right. I forgot that other list boy there did mention that he's coming out. Oh, Jack Swagger was in that match?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's not good at all.
No. Nope.
I forgot that. I was sitting there. I'm like, no, he wasn't in that match, was he? Oh, fuck, he was. Son of a bitch.
Yep, that's another problem with these multiple man matches is one guy going over a lot of other people. Now's not the time to be, having a lot of guys not win, you know, lose, whatever, not win, whatever synonym you want to use. Not that time.
Yeah, well, and the other thing about it, usually when these four-way matches, you know, they give them two faces and two heels so that, you know, the
right.
guys can have at least semi-built-in feuds, so they go after each other, and then they worry about mixing with the other contestants
yep.
as, you know, someone gets the upper hand.
Yep.
But, yeah, this was all three of the fucking contenders for his belt. He, quote-unquote,
right.
beat.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know.
Wow.
That was a misstep. That was a real misstep there. I don't know what they're doing with Chris Masters, but if you need Kofi to have a win that bad, you know, have him beat Chris Masters one time. Bring back fucking, I don't know, I'm trying to think of somebody
John
on shitty from like 2006. I'm sorry?
I said Big John Studd.
Just anybody, you know. I haven't beat King Kong Bundy one week. I don't know. Just don't put him over all three of the guys that you're trying to have work up the ladder.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, it's just painful. And again, just pointing out the fact that these are supposedly the same writers that have, you know, gotten the IC title, you know, to mean something, supposedly.
Yeah.
Good God.
No, I don't buy it. However,
Nor should anyone.
What I was gonna say, what else happened on Raw? I don't know if I know you'd mentioned the main event as
well,
I don't know if there's anything
before
else.
Before we get to the main event, at least shortly, I thought that Jericho and Big Show were gonna kinda help out MVP and Mark Henry. Like they did with JTG and Shad Gaspard.
Right.
But, was that not the case whatsoever on Raw Monday night?
Yeah. I believe, oh God, I'm going to sound
Jericho,
like an idiot, but I'm wrong. Jericho beat MVP, didn't he?
Yeah, in 8.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. MVP did not exactly get in a whole lot of offense, and just, you know, was it me mentioning, oh, it seems like MVP back on track, getting things rolling here for him. This is the way to go.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's not. It's a week later, and I'm already like, well, okay. Yeah. That kind of sucked.
are we the death knell for some of these guys? You and MVP, Jeremy and Ray. Hey. Boy, I'm glad Kofi Kingston got that win. God, he's sure a great athlete, isn't he? What a U.S. champion. He should be pushed to the moon. He's really coming along as a character and a wrestler. Tick, 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 tick.
Oh, maybe the WWE mole is listening to us again. Maybe he finally found Stunt Granny after we got lost in the wilderness after leaving the torch, and he's finally picked us back up here.
Yeah, really. And now he hates us.
Actually, he's not the mole anymore. What's I don't know. Is he the hawk waiting to grab the mole coming out of the ground or something?
Hey, he's like a sparrow hawk. He'll swoop down and grab his prey.
Oh, man.
Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, MVP, man.
He used to listen to us. Now he's doing the exact opposite of what we're saying, so.
That sucks, though, for MVP, man. He was, yeah, you're right, he was get back on track, just to steal your words from you. I don't know, it's so strange to, it's directionless. Maybe that's not so strange, because it's getting to be par for the course.
Yeah, it's on Raw, so you know maybe that was the problem. Is that Crime Time's on SmackDown?
Yeah.
So they had their thinking helmets on over there. They're going back to the non-thinking helmets now that they're back to Raw.
They had their Shockmaster helmets on.
Oh, yeah. I certainly was not too bummed about the fact that their 92 segments were blocked out from my audio displeasure this week.
Yeah. Well, at least they were funny enough to bring up the Shockmaster. And like Powell mentioned, most of their crowd's not going to get it. But, hey, I get it. That shit's funny to me.
Yeah, I think there are plenty of people there that probably watched at our age that might be taking their kids now.
Yeah,
or,
that's right.
You know, or were maybe a little bit older than us, and, you know, maybe their kids were too young when that stuff was around, so they were watching it with the Attitude Era. Now that their kids are old enough,
yeah.
You know, they're just kind of continuing the trend. So, you know, maybe there's more than just us dorks that, you know, watch way too much goddamn wrestling that got that joke.
That's right, yeah. Hey, you know what, though? Play up to us old-timers that are putting our ZZ Top vinyl on the old turntable that grew up watching Bob Barker. I don't give a damn. That's the best decision ever. Bob Barker as guest host of Raw is going to be phenomenal.
Yes, it is. We can only hope that he takes a stunt bump through a table like Mae Young did.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing. I was actually going to try to bounce around... I was going to try to bounce around topics and try to lead us into talking about the non-existent main event. I was going to mention, I hope that Bob Barker's ratings do better than Dusty Rhodes' 3.6, which is, you know, whatever, which we'll talk about. We'll get into that 3.6 here in a second, but yeah, if we want to go into the non-existent main event now.
Yeah. You know, and the funny thing is the non-existent main event is probably the most memorable main event that Raw has had in quite some time.
Yeah.
That's what's a little silly about the whole situation, honestly.
Yeah, really. Well, and there it was a swerve on top of a swerve, and you can explain it better than I could.
Yeah, well, Dusty Rhodes sets up the main event to, you know, and they're saying that it's all about business the whole time around. Cody is saying, you know, this is, you know, he just kind of wants to test himself against Orton.
Yep.
Really is what he was saying. You know, it's just business. It's not going to break us up. It's not a big deal. You know, let's just do this thing. And
yep.
John Cena is going to be the special guest referee. So, yeah, so they basically just sucker John Cena into a beatdown, really.
Yep.
And Dusty lets them know it right before said beatdown commences. And then DX comes out for the save. And Dusty Rhodes quite literally puts the boot to Triple H's head. In old-timey fashion, too, which was fairly appropriate out of Mr. Rhodes.
Yeah, definitely.
Where he actually removed it from his foot and clunked Triple H with the heel on the head.
That's right, he hit him with a plunder.
I wonder how long it has been since somebody actually took their boot off like that to actually pull that off, like, I feel like that happened, like, every 2 or 3 weeks when I was watching as a child.
Oh, right. Well, aside from, I want to say Cody and Teddy took Shawn Michaels' boot off for that attack a couple weeks ago. But besides that, yeah, that's like that's an 80s trick. That shit's old school as hell. But it works because, again, it's Dusty Rhodes, and it's a bunch of second and third generation guys in Legacy. So it works. It's a great gimmick. Go old school.
Yes, it is.
Wear a cast for 3 years. Now, I already said in an audio recently, I think that'd be a terrible idea to bring back the cast. But, but yeah, so big swerve, and then at whatever point it is, then Randy decides, as the alpha male of this whole collective, that he's going to give the RKO to Big Dust.
Yeah, well, they had done a little bit of celebrating. And he was raising, it might have been Cody and Big Dust's hands, and I think Teddy was holding up Dusty's other hand there.
Yep.
And, yeah, that's when he laid in the RKO.
And Cody wasn't too happy about it, I think, was he?
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Like, he was, like, getting perturbed about it, but he kind of backed away into the corner. Like, he was in the... Oh, fuck. I just drew a blank as to what... the Blair Witch Project. You know, like,
nice.
The end of the movie, he's just fucking standing there in the corner. He's just kind of, like, shaking his head, and it's like... It was like he kind of accepted it, but didn't really.
Yep. Well, once again,
you know?
the bitchification of Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase, he's angry, but he can't do anything about it because he's a little punk bitch for Randy Orton. And that does not make
yeah.
a good stable. I realize that the other three horsemen were there to keep the belt on Ric Flair, but they weren't his bitch.
Yeah.
God, I don't understand how they don't get that.
Yeah, it does not make a whole lot of sense. And, I mean, he, you know, it made sense why he attacked Ted DiBiase, Sr.
Yep.
And, you know, to attack him after helping you out really doesn't make any sense.
Right.
You know, he just fucking helped you. Like,
unless the only thing is, like, when he cut that promo on Steph a while back, where he said, now that you've squeezed out a couple of kids, you're essentially useless. So, you know, he got what he wanted out of DiBiase, he got what he wanted out of Rhodes. And he's like, well, you're useless to me, now I'm going to go stare off into space.
Oh, yeah. So, and, you know, they really could capitalize. If the WWE really wanted to, you know, these guest hosts that could reappear on a semi-regular basis, like Dusty.
Yeah.
You know, they could almost build in, and they don't need to do it, like, have him on next week or anything like that. But the chances that they follow up on this in any way, well, okay, they might say something to Cody next week, but
yeah.
That's really about it. Like, Dusty is never going to get in a word again, I don't think.
No,
and
probably not.
Yeah, that's just kind of silly as far as I'm concerned. You know,
it's
they really could bring him back at some juncture and make something of it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where if you can't give the fans a payoff in the ring, don't do it. Dusty Rhodes is never going to have his revenge. You know, I understand the legend killer aspect of his character, and that's fine because that helps for the first couple of years. But Dusty Rhodes is never going to get in the ring and beat or even wrestle Randy Orton, let alone, like you say, probably ever show up and even say his 2 cents. So it's like the whole thing is just left hanging.
Yeah, and really, you just said legend killer. I'm like, oh, my God, when was the last time they actually referred to him as the Legend Killer?
I know. It feels like it's been about 3 or 4 years at this point. I mean, against
hey.
Undertaker, that one WrestleMania 4 years ago, maybe. I don't know if he kept doing it after that.
Yeah. I mean, even if it hasn't been that long, you know, it's you know, obviously it kind of felt like that long. Like, I didn't even think about that aspect of his character when he did it.
Right, yeah. Now it's just all willy-nilly.
You literally made it come to my brain. I'm like, oh, yeah. So,
wow, that minivan. There's a minivan going 90 miles an hour down the road that just weaved through all of this traffic. It was like me and then 2 cars in the fast lane, and this thing just weaved through all of us. What the shit? All these fucking cars that I just passed in the last half hour are flying by me right now, and my car isn't going any slower. Well, anyway.
Oh, well, at least you know that they'll catch the police officers before you do.
Hell yes, exactly. Like, they're like flypaper.
Yeah, fuck them, man. I don't really mind it when I see somebody pass me. I'm like, good. Go ahead. Especially when they're doing a ridiculous speed.
Yeah.
Have at it.
That's right. Well, let's see. I don't know. Speaking of extreme speeds, I don't know. Am I trying to make a transition?
maybe. But, yeah. We had minorly touched on this topic, and I think it applies to the opening match for ECW there.
Okay.
The Shelton Benjamin, Zack Ryder. You want to talk about nobody, because we talked about how nobody could help push anybody else there earlier. Well, this feud doesn't really help anybody.
No.
And looks like it's over, too, now.
Yeah. They've given Zack Ryder plenty of TV time. He's got plenty of face time. He's got the silly theme music that Matt Stryker has explained on commentary. He's got the silly outfit. He does his woo-woo-woo, you know it, into the camera. You know, he's got a lot of things going for him. He has a win over Tyler Rex on Superstars. Oh, boy. But, yeah, him beating Shelton, or him losing to Shelton Benjamin twice in a row doesn't help him in the least, especially after the weird push, if you even want to call it a push, the weird aspects of his TV time that he's gotten. And then with Shelton, you know, okay, he's getting wins on TV, I suppose, but there's a difference, you know. My sincerest apologies to Mike Tolar, but Shelton could be winning squashes and getting wins, or he could be wrestling competitive matches against a guy who's way below him on the ladder, and then beat the guy who's way below him on the ladder that doesn't help the guy that's way below him on the ladder, and really doesn't help Shelton in the process either. Not to mention the fact that I don't know who's a heel. I know Zack Ryder's a heel, but we've talked about this before. You know, where does Shelton stand? People are kind of cheering for him for his finish. By the way, I don't know what the hell was up with that ECW crowd on Tuesday, but they weren't reacting to anything at all during that match. Shelton hit that big springboard blockbuster. You could have heard a pin drop in that arena. But they kind of applauded. They stood up and applauded for pay dirt and the finish, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think that's part and parcel of the whole problem. When you're not giving the right pushes to the right guys and giving good feuds and having good outcomes and this and that we've complained about, then the crowd gets very apathetic about everything. It's like, literally, like the crowd might be thinking, oh, well, we could cheer what just happened, but next week, Zack Ryder might pin Shelton Benjamin, and then what the fuck? What's the point?
Yeah, really, kind of, it's kind of ties together with the real squash match that did happen during the night with within the tag team ranks.
Yep.
As soon as Zeke went heel, there is no reason to me to not present Shelton Benjamin as a babyface.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, him and Christian are the only two guys that can stand up to those three guys. Well, aside from Mr. Pipe Dream there that came out for the main event segment, I guess we should say.
Yeah, in his graphic tee, which is surprisingly he wasn't wearing a company T-shirt. I don't think it was a company shirt. It was certainly wasn't an ECW shirt, but like, wow, Tommy Dreamer in a V-neck graphic tee. I'm like, what the fuck does he think he's doing?
Oh, man. So, they really need him to be a face. So, I mean, they kind of needed to establish that. Oh, my God. And we might have... I even completely forgot about that one topic. But, you know, they really had a chance to do that on good old Abe Washington's show a while back there.
Yeah.
You know, what has it been, 3-4 weeks ago that they actually had that segment now?
Was it with the... are we still talking about Shelton and the Sing-Off?
Yeah, Shelton and the Sing-Off. Like, they really... if he wouldn't have done the sing-off, they might well have been able to establish him as the baby face in this whole situation. But unfortunately, they felt like a sing-off with Shelton Benjamin was far better off.
Yeah, and when the best thing
put on the air,
when the most baby-faced thing that you do is sing kind of pretty, so the Bella Twins swoon, that doesn't really make you all that great of a babyface.
Nope.
No.
Neither does sillily dyeing your hair fucking blonde either.
Yeah, really. Oh, I want to go back to something I said, because what I hypothetically jokingly said contradicts something that you said, which is correct. When I said that, oh, the crowd might not care because they'll think, oh, Zack Ryder will beat Shelton Benjamin next week and whatever. Well, I think what you said was more accurate, because Shelton's gotten two wins over Zack Ryder in a row, made him look like a punk on the Abraham Washington show. The feud is probably over at this point. But it's funny, because if we want to talk about Goldust and Sheamus, their feud ended also last night on ECW. Well, Tuesday, depending on when we post this and when people listen to it. So if nothing else, I mean, it might be a matter of ECW, I don't know, either pushing the reset button, if you want to call it that, maybe not that drastic, but at least preparing to move on to different things for the new fall season. So, you know, for whatever we could say about what happened with Shelton Benjamin and Zack Ryder, there's a good chance that they're going to move on to other things, and then we can judge the booking and their performances on that. And then we can say the same thing about Goldust and Sheamus, which, I don't know, Sheamus won. Obviously, that was what was going to happen, because he's new, he's awesome, and they don't think much of Dustin Rhodes right now. But it's good to see Sheamus getting the push, and we know that it's a push, as opposed to Zack Ryder and Shelton Benjamin. We really don't know what's going on with those two.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, and I think that was the other thing is I think I was talking to Jeremy about this over instant message last week. Like, it seemed like they were starting to get things kind of organized as far as how the hierarchy was going there in ECW.
Right.
But I thought this week kind of, you know, blew things out of the water, really.
Yeah, it did.
You know,
well, and I was going to mention, too, Paul Burchill and Hurricane, there's a feud. And I'm pretty sure their last match for their maybe only one and only match was on Superstars last week. Paul Burchill.
No. What's the Hurricane got a win a couple weeks ago on
over
ECW.
Burchill?
Yeah, over Burchill 2 weeks
okay.
ago.
Because Burchill
and
did
then,
pin.
Yeah.
Burchill pinned Hurricane on Superstars. And I believe that was last week. And it's
correct.
Another example of something that we've been bitching about. This even Steven booking gets everybody nowhere. And not to mention when you're trying to do this whole baby face has an alter ego thing, which has happened once or twice here and there. It really doesn't do any good for the heel to beat the baby face in this instance and still have not proved his point. It just kind of makes everybody look dumb and keeps everybody in limbo.
Yeah, well, and that with that feud is definitely continuing with, you know, them being on Abe's show this week, which had a little bit of extra pizzazz, which I actually, which I kind of like, really. giving him a stupid sidekick for him to pick on. Might be the best thing that WWE's done for Abraham Washington so far.
Sorry. When I saw Tony Atlas, I'm like, wow, this is a rib, and this is awesome. This is a rib on Tony Atlas. It's a rib on Abraham Washington. It's a rib on the fans. It's like, I love it when they put a guy who can't talk in a position to talk, and they make it humorous like this, which was, I don't know if it was my theory.
Unfortunately, they do it to us every Monday night when we have to listen to fucking Michael Cole.
Oh, shit, yeah, good point. I don't remember if this was my theory or my theory alone or someone else's theory or a co-theory, but I thought that's what they did with Hurricane or Gregory Helms too. Like, here's a dipshit that can't barely talk. Oh, what a Blake-o! And they give him a microphone to do interviews every week. Now here's Tony Atlas, can't hardly talk about living on a mud floor in West Memphis, Arkansas, or wherever he grew up, fucking somewhere in Virginia. Had to eat off the floor, blah, 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 blah. This guy, you know, he's a manager for Mark Henry who can do a fine job talking on his own, really, to be honest with you. They give him this job because they feel bad for him and they want to give him a paycheck. Now, again, a guy, mushmouth, his sole purpose in ECW is to talk into a microphone and introduce Abraham Washington and then laugh out loud. That shit's hilarious, and it's a little embarrassing, but whatever.
Oh, man. Yes, it is, but, yeah, it could be amusing. So I am fully ready to give it a little bit of time before I fully want to re-pull the plug on that fucking moron Abraham Washington.
Okay, that's, yeah. I'm in a holding pattern, right? I'm okay. I'll see how it pans out. My God.
Oh, and yeah, there's only I don't know. We've kind of hit all the bases there. We had mentioned Pro Wrestling Ohio Zone, and also another fine graduate of Kent State University, Mike Tolar.
Yep.
Getting his ass handed to him by Zeke and Vlad. And,
yep.
Hey, you know, at least they had confidence in him enough that they did not let the other guy in the match.
Right, yeah, good point. Oh, Mike. Hey, man, that's awesome, though. I don't know if... Well,
and,
you know what? Use your connection. Find out if he got a call or if he actually, like... If somebody, you know, brokered the deal for him or what. I'd be curious to find out how he got on TV. This isn't the first time I've seen his name on WWE TV in recent memory, like in the last couple of months.
Even Matt Stryker had said, this isn't the first time we've seen young Mike Tolar. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, I was like, huh, I must have missed him the last time he was on. I must not have been paying attention or something.
Yeah, no, I remember seeing his name Yeah, so I'd be curious as to how he keeps getting the call back.
Well, and I think he was in WWE developmental at some juncture. But, yeah, I was going to try and get a hold of him to see if maybe I can't beat a short interview out of him or something here.
That would be phenomenal.
Since he got some TV time, so it kind of seems like a good time to maybe go over... Resolution and his, you know, 3-minute beatdown of fame that he had this week.
That would be cool.
So, And then, I don't know, do we really want to fill in anything more about the whole real main event match there with Mr. Sheamus? I don't know. I think we can really let that be. I think you said all that needs to be said, really.
Yep, I think so. The only I have 10 seconds on this other topic on ECW, and then if you want to talk about it, then we can move on. I didn't watch the WrestleMania special on NBC, so if that's the treatment they gave to the Shawn Michaels Undertaker match on there, you can't. I mean, I thought it was awful. I thought it was silly. It's good that they gave it the proper respect that they did, talking about how it was one of the greatest matches of all time. But you can't take that epic match and chop it up that much. I said it before, I don't know if I'll ever see another match that good if I live to be 100. I might, and I hope so. And I hope I see it at the Dragon Gate event on Sunday, September 6th in Chicago at Congress Theater. Tickets are still available, but otherwise, yeah, that's the only other thing I can think of from ECW.
They really did make it sound like they're going to show the whole thing. I'm like, oh, so they're only going to have two matches, and
right.
Then they got into like the next segment. I'm like, there's no way they're showing this whole thing,
right?
And you know, I'm just glad that I still have it on my DVR, still saved on my DVR. I can go back and watch the thing
yeah.
in its entirety. No problems, no questions asked. It's
yep.
Just punch it up, and we're done.
There you go. Oh, let's see. I'm trying to think of what other little stories there were, because we're pretty much at the breaking point, if you will, pun intended. Any other? I know you mentioned
Nelson
a couple other things.
Sharp as a tack tonight.
Jesus
with the
Christ.
Pun.
Yeah.
And the segues.
Lord. Off air, I know you mentioned a couple other things.
Made a quick mention of a 3.6 rating there for Mr. Dusty Rhodes. And evidently, this was the WWE's best summer of ratings since the year 2001.
Right. And if we all recall, the summer of 2001 was the summer of the invasion. And for the long-term fans, we remember things going downhill quickly after that happened. SmackDown was, that's the thing, let's draw some parallels. Well, I'll draw one parallel that I can think of off the top of my head. SmackDown was way better in 2002 than Raw was. But, it's been kind of a crappy 7-year stretch. It's been on the uptick here and there. This past WrestleMania aside, they've had some really good buy rates for WrestleMania. Not that 960,000 is anything to sneeze at, but it wasn't over 1 million like they wanted. So, you know, when you're touting your best summer ever and you're pulling anywhere between a 3.5 and a 3.9, when your highs were like sixes upwards of sevens, you know, good for you. Good for what you're doing. You're getting good advertisers back. That's cool. But, you know, continue the evaluation process and see what better things you can come up with, to put it nicely.
Yeah, to say the least, you know. And, I don't know if we want to get into this minor TNA topic not, or if we just want to just go ahead and close up shop here.
Oh, actually, yeah, that's a good point. It's interesting. I was thinking about, I still have to mention super secret surprise, big news coming up. So I won't get into the detail that I was going to get into with this TNA topic, but I'd be curious from Stunt Granny fans, if you have a way to get a hold of us, what you think of Dixie Carter's opinion.
You don't leave enough comment.
Dixie Carter, not really too emphatic about having, or excited about having 12 pay-per-views every year. This is something that a lot of us fantasy bookers and armchair quarterbacks talk about. 12 is too many. 12 is too many. I'd be curious to find out what people think is a good number. I'd also be curious as to what people think good names would be for the pay-per-views. Do you continue naming them after Phil Collins songs? Do you switch to Huey Lewis in the News, like Mauer Morneau suggested earlier tonight to me over Messenger? I said, what do you call one of them? You call one of your pay-per-views Do You Believe in Love? And it's all mixed tag matches where the winners get married. He suggested a pay-per-view titled Working for a Living, where everyone gets the next weekend off. anyway, that's certainly something that we'll be talking about in the near future in great detail. That's funny. I said great detail, even though no one who listens to this is going to get that joke. Great.
Great detail?
Great. It's great. Anyway. so
yeah, I'm obviously not getting it, and you're hinting, and I'm like, nah.
That's cool. let's see. Anything else? I already kind of mentioned the Dragon Gate event in Chicago on Sunday the sixth. I'm gonna put a post up about this because Gabe Sapolsky, the booker, put something up on his Twitter about fifth row seats about half gone. So, you know, tickets are slowly trickling out, but there will still be plenty of seats available. And if I get this post up, there will be obviously the web link, which is dgusa.tv, that's Dragon Gate, dgusa.tv, a phone number you can call. But anyway, I'll be there. Jordan, Big Round Wizard, will be there. I think I can go ahead and mention their names now at this point. I don't think they'll care. Steve Williams, a.k.a. Steve MHW, for those of you who know him on the Pro Wrestling Torch VIP forum. And Derek Steller, Derek Price, DerekPrice.net. For all of your web design needs, go to DerekPrice.net. I hope it's not .com. Check out both if I'm wrong. We'll all be in Chicago tearing shit up all weekend. So if anybody is available to join us, get a hold of us and let us know, because it's going to be a howling good time. Anything else?
This is just another, I didn't really feel like doing a post on it, but, because it felt too much like, shilling for something that I have no horse, in the, race for,
okay.
XM, if you, happen to have it, and are not a fan of, Opie and Anthony, they are actually... Their worst of the weekend is usually just, you know, the best, really. It's their best of segment.
Yeah.
But they, their two big resident wrestling fans, Sam and E-Rock, are going to be joined by one Matt Stryker.
Ooh, cool.
And they are going to do, like, they probably won't do too much talking because they don't, or at least they don't normally. But they are going to be going over the best WWE interviews that they've had on the show.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that should be pretty fun. I don't know how much I'm going to listen to them, but, you know, we'll see what I can catch in between drinking this weekend.
Good point. Yeah, big Labor Day weekends all around. Jordan and I and the other guys will do our best to post columns, blogs, little news bits, and any sort of audio that we can garner in our definitely drunken states. Trust me, we are going to be drinking. And we'll be taking the public transit. So if you're in Chicago and you see four goons, well, three of us, Derek's not going to drink, and I don't blame him. He probably wants to see this circus as sober as he can be. see a bunch of goofballs hobbling around on the L in Chicago is probably us. Cool. So, yeah, Opie and Anthony, check it out. Check your local listings, as they say. Yeah, cool, man. Does that about wind it up?
Yes, it does.
All right.
That's a wrap.
All right, cool. Well, I'm actually almost to my destination anyway, so thanks, everyone, for listening. We promise to see a big surprise. It has nothing to do with Samoa Joe's contract negotiations, but we will tell you all about it soon. Everybody have a good – oh, it's only going to be Wednesday when we post this, isn't it? Have a good Thursday and then Friday and then a Labor Day weekend. I was going to wish everybody well, but fuck, we might talk to you in the meantime. Who knows?
Yep. And for Krispy Kreme and for the rest of the grandchildren – I am going to sign off on this thing quicker than Samoa Joe would for that donut deal.